Okay, so what we were building up to, last week we had a volunteer speaker, testimonial, and a lot along the lines of the same as you know, kind of Rick was touching on here a second ago. It's just that we go through so many different things in our lives. We've sacrificed and been through to get to where we are today, and there's a lot of people out there that still just haven't turned to try yet, you know. And you got to think, when you live in that addictive mentality, a lot of times you don't get it. And what we wanted to do was go over biblical-based recovery. So we're going to go through, and then we're going to work out the 12 steps, but from the Bible. And I want to give you a little bit of history before we get started. In 1935, Bill Wilson and Dr. Bob Smith got together and created AA. And it took 4 years and three different groups of demographics working together to produce 100 sober alcoholics. It took 4 years to produce 100 sober alcoholics. It kind of reminds me of, you know, our percentages a lot, you know, where you're in that early time of growth, and you want to see that end result, but you're not at the end. You're working at the beginning, you know. I know a lot of times these older mentors in here are really hungry to see growth and results, but working in this ministry, most of the time we're all just in the very beginning of it all, which is just as beautiful, but it has to prosper. You know, I think Pastor Charles a long time ago was saying about how a tree root takes root, and you can pull that root out, but once it becomes a tree, then it has to be hacked down. You know, when we allow these things in our life. But I just thought that was interesting. So when they first started in 1935, it took them 4 years to produce 100 sober alcoholics. Now watch this. They produced the book in 1939, and then by 1950, which is 15 years later, over 100,000 recorded successful, you know, recovery alcoholics. So a 15-year time span produced 100,000 sober people. And what they come to find out later on was these principles apply to anything. It doesn't specifically relate to alcohol. It doesn't specifically relate, you know, I mean, it did at that time because he was an alcoholic. He wanted to help other alcoholics. He's just a massive, wide-scale, you know, failure all around. He wanted to intervene. But what they've come to realize today is you can implement these steps at pretty much anything in your life as far as alcohol, drugs, anger, you know, whatever it may be. You can pop that in that slot into these 12 steps and break it down. So my question to us today is, why is it so successful? Well, nobody really thinks about that. It's kind of cliche at this point, where we don't want to go to the groups, we don't want to hear them talk about it, you know, we don't want to hear all that or be a part of that. But what we heard a minute ago from one of our testimonies here is, hey, you know what, I went to another group and it was a good experience. I went to another group and it was a good experience. It was encouraged by other people. But why is it so successful? And I would boast that the 12-step program is biblically based in many different scenarios as it aligns with God's scripture. And I'm going to show you how. In Isaiah 55:10, he says, "For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there without watering the earth and making it bear and sprout, so will my word be which goes forth from my mouth. It will not return to me empty without bearing fruit and sprout. So my word which goes will accomplish what I desire, and it will not return without succeeding in the matter of which I sent it." So God says that my word goes forth and it does not come back to me void. Right? So if we're thinking about this principle, and what we've been talking about over the course of time is, when I get established in God's word, I get around God's word, or I put myself in environments conducive to God's word, I begin to apply that in my life, all of a sudden, I begin to move forward. I begin to succeed. I begin to face these challenges and not fall down. Amen. But why is that? Because God said, my word does not return to me void. So if I know the absolute truth is before me here, and it doesn't come back void to him, if I can align myself with this word, then it's no doubt to me that I'm going to succeed. Amen? And that's what's happening here. They sat back and they took out biblical principles and put them down on paper and said, how can we just share this with the whole world? We don't necessarily have to, you know, press on faith, but they just wanted to get the principles out there. And as we know, the word says it rains on the just and the unjust. What is he saying? Blessings come down. Amen. So if I'm aligned with God's word, then I'm going to be blessed. And that's the reason why this is so successful. And we're going to talk about it. So I don't know how many steps we're going to be able to knock out per visit, but I'm thinking maybe four or so. And the very first step is we admitted that we are powerless over alcohol or drugs, that our lives have become unmanageable. And I want to look closely at the step before we bring the verse out. It says, we admitted that we are powerless over drugs or alcohol or whatever it may be, that our lives have become unmanageable. And when I sit here and I think to myself right now, you guys think to yourselves right now, what is it in my life that even though my will, even though my heart is in the right place, even though I know I want to do the right thing, what is it that I'm falling victim to today? Amen. It may not be alcohol, it may not be drugs, it may not be whatever it is, because there's a lot of times in our lives where we're very, very victim to many things. I just was listening to a book from a buddy of mine. He's going to give it to me pretty soon. He's telling me a little bit about the devil's bait. And it's so funny that you could take a role model Christian man and put him in the center of the room and he's got it all together and everything, you know, on the outside, it looks real good, right? But then on the inside, it's not the same. You know, I'm not saying necessarily that's the case in all men or whatever it may be. But the thing that I am saying is beauty is only skin deep, right? I mean, the what's he say in the word? He says, the heart of the man reflects the man. You know, it's what comes out of him is what's inside of him. And many times, you know, it's not specifically something as easy to point out as alcoholism. I go home every night, drink myself to sleep, go to work hungover, go to bed, you know, whatever, over and over and over again. It's not that easy to point out. Sometimes it's just pride. Sometimes I'm just better than everybody else, right? Sometimes I'm just, you know, I'm better than you, or sometimes I'm, you know, violent or angry. Some of us, you know, we're all weird. We have many different strange little things about us that we do that we obviously has become unmanageable in our lives. And if we're walking in the flesh, I know for a fact we can go around the table and talk about something we're struggling with, right? Yes or no? Yes or no? I mean, I know for a fact that each and every single one of us struggle with these things. And what it's saying is our lives have become unmanageable to the fact that what I want to do, I'm not doing. Romans, what, 7:14, Paul talking about the one that wants to do good is not doing good. The good that I want to do, I'm not doing. But the very evil that I don't want to do, I see myself doing. Right? He's saying I'm visibly watching myself fail over and over and over again. Well, the Bible gives us a good little hint on part of this. In Proverbs, he says, don't look on the wine when it's red, when it sparkles in the cup, when it goes down smooth. At the last bite, bites like a serpent, and the strings like viper. Your eyes see strange things, your mind will utter perverse things, and you'll be like the one who lies down in the middle of the sea, or the one who lies on the top of the mast. They struck me, but I did not become ill. They beat me, but I did not know it. When shall I awake? I shall seek another drink. And what he's talking about in the middle of the verse, when one who lies down on the top of the mast, is setting yourself up for tragedy, right? And that's the funny thing about these discrepancies in our life. When we allow sin to fester, whether it be alcoholism, drugs, pride, the whole list continued, whatever you want to fit in right there, I'm setting myself up for tragedy. And the thing is I don't want any more tragedy in my life. Amen. Do you? Who is hungry for some tragedy today? Yes or no? No, but then in my daily life, well, I toy with it. I still roll the dice. I still think I'm going to get away with this. I still think I'm going to get away with that. But isn't that the same thing? Yeah, it is. Right. I mean, it is to me. right? He's saying you're setting yourself up for tragedy. And then at the end of that, he says, when will I weak? I'll sink another drink. That's warning to change our perspective on how we see our addiction. Because the funny thing is about us is we have a great ability to justify the things that we do, right? But I'm not going to justify what Rick does because I can point at him. Amen. Right? But I can't never stop and turn the fingers around and go, uh-oh, Ben, what are you doing right now? What are your shortcomings right now? I got to sit and just fire off at everybody else, and then all of a sudden, I feel great. Well, I'm not this, and I'm not that, and I'm not this, and I'm not that. But all of a sudden, I got a huge list of problems I'm not dealing with. Amen? Amen. Right? It's introspection, really. And that's the cool thing about just being honest about it and looking into that perspective that it becomes a trap. So the longer I force my thoughts on comparing to you, which Paul said, we're not as bold as to class or compare ourselves to those that commend themselves and compare themselves to themselves. And what he's saying is, as long as my eyes are straight on you and I compare myself to you, then I'm not growing at the rate of Jesus Christ has for me. Right? If I take my eyes off of Christ and I set them on Bob, then my standards go, whew. Right? Sorry, Bob. Bob's an awesome dude, but he's not Jesus Christ. Amen? Right? He's going to let me down eventually. Ben is a pretty cool dude, but he's not Jesus Christ. Amen? So I can't set my standard to Ben's standard because then all of a sudden I got all of Ben's defects. Right? I got to keep my eyes on Christ. I can't compare myself, you know, to the other progress of a man. I got to compare myself to my faith, and that's where my growth continues. That's what he's talking about. So in the second verse of Isaiah, I got, he says, like shepherd's tent, my dwelling is pulled up and removed from me. As a weaver, I rolled up my life. He cuts me off from the loom. From day until night, you'll make the end of me. And when you're talking about your life being unmanageable, he said, like the shepherd's tent, my dwelling was pulled up. How many of us have been in that place in your life where everything's just spun, you know, and your suffering doesn't cease? It just doesn't cease. You operate in that addictive mentality where you can't really see the end, and then you can't see an out. Right? In the very last thing we think it is Christ, because in Proverbs he also says, a man separates himself to seek his own desire. A man separates because he quarrels with all good wisdom. So why is he saying that? Because the farther I separate myself from my brothers in Christ, my sisters in Christ, my pastors in Christ, and the Word, the more I can get away with this facade that I don't really have a problem. Amen? Does that make sense? So then, in Romans 7:19, oh, I should have been patient. He says, for the good I want, I do not do, but I practice the very evil that I do not want. But if I'm doing the very thing that I do not want, I am no longer the one doing it, but sin which dwells within me. I find that the principle is present within me, but the one that wants to do good. And then we talked not too long ago about the robot and pre-programming. When we pre-program the flesh to fulfill its desires, and then we kind of give into that flesh because the flesh wants it now, and all these other things. We're used to that pre-programming where we're not used to bleeding and sweating and for what we need. We're not used to getting out there, you know, especially if you get into the fast lifestyle where for the most part you pretty much accommodate for yourself as much as you can until it all falls apart. Amen. Right? So you don't really get a good idea what it's like to wake up at 4:30 in the morning and get home at 6:30 in the afternoon. Then when you're subjected to that, it's unacceptable. But in reality, David said, God bless the work of my hands. He didn't say, you know, rain the bread on me. You know what I mean? He said, bless the work of my hands. And I also read the verse that said, the man does not work with his hands, let him not eat. Well, why would Scripture say that? Because God has designed us to be workers of the field. God has designed us as part of the body of Christ. Some of us don't necessarily work in the field. Some of us are counselors. Some of us are factory workers. Some of us are whatever. But we're all a big part of that body of Christ. And God expects us to use those gifts. But he's saying right here, the thing that he wants to do, he doesn't do. So here's the part where we're really starting to get a hold on this. We admitted that we're powerless. And our lives become unmanageable. Well, the thing is, if I know in my life today, right now, 2016, September 26th, if there's things going on in my life right now that are repeating that I don't want in my life, then I have to face it. I can no longer say that I'm not aware of this. Amen? Right? Because if it happened today or happened yesterday, then I'm aware of it. So I can't hide from it. But that's all God wants us to do. He wants us to be aware of it because Jesus Christ said, come as you are, all ye weary and laden, right? He didn't say, you had to go take a shower real quick. He didn't say, oh, you better bring a friend that's already been accepted. He didn't say, well, you have to be clean shaven to get in the door. He said, come all ye weary laden, and what? I will give you rest. Amen? Right? So we come to Christ exactly as we are with an honest heart on our knees tonight and say, Lord, here is the list of the things that have been hindering me. Amen? I'm angry. I'm violent. I'm partying, whatever it may be. Amen. Here's the list of the things that I'm powerless, that I keep falling victim to. And I'm asking your strength and your support to give me the courage to the very next decision to be the right decision. Amen. Amen. So, step two. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Here is a big part of the verse for me, as far as this is concerned, in needing to understand that Jesus Christ is King. And I don't play when it comes to this. He says, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Now, I'm going to argue with you guys just for one brief moment, just for giggles, to say that there's many forces that are greater than us out here today, right? There's other men, there's machines, there's mechanics. There's many different forces that are greater than us, yes or no? Has anybody ever tried to push this wall, right? I mean, or you ever tried to stop a moving bulldozer? Right? Would you argue that that force is greater than you? But let me be honest with you. The bulldozer is not going to save your soul. The bulldozer is not going to protect you or give you guidance. This is where we're going to really flip this into Hebrews 11, 1, 2, and 6. I'm going to cut it up and put it together. It says, right now, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things unseen. For by it, men of old gained approval. So they received the word, it impacted their lives and the lives of those that depended on them. Faith framed their future, not their circumstances. That's what I want to talk about for 1 second. It said, now faith, right now faith, okay? So whoever I am, whatever I got, whatever situation I'm in, right now my faith is the strongest thing that's going to pull me out of this. My faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. Because He is the answer and He is the one that can save me. It's the assurance of the things hoped for, the conviction of the things unseen. So right now I'm struggling and I'm looking down that road, but I can see the light at the end of the tunnel because of my faith. Amen. Amen. I can't see the light at the end of the tunnel because I make a bunch of money. I can't see the light at the end of the tunnel because I got a beautiful wife. Amen. I can see the light at the end of the tunnel because Jesus Christ is in my future. Amen? That's it. That's it. Cut and dry. So in old school, they received the word, it impacted their life, and then it shaved their lives and the ones that depended on them. It frames your future, not your circumstances. So right now, I can have less than what I need. Right now, I can be where I don't want to be, but I can see where I'm going through faith. Amen? Amen. That's a very, very powerful concept. Then verse 6 comes back and says, without faith, it is impossible to please Him, for he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is the rewarder of those who seek Him. So first and foremost, not only am I going to God on my knees with step one of my list of complaints against myself, but I have the faith to understand that God is going to reach into me and give me the tools to face it. Amen. Here are the things in my life that I know I don't want in my life anymore. God, give me the tools to cut them out. Here are the struggles and the challenges that I have to face today. God, give me the courage to stand up and do that the right way. Amen. No more cutting corners, right? No more shaving integrity. Now I'm going to face it. If it's muddy, it's muddy. If it's uncomfortable, it's uncomfortable. If I got to look one of my good friends in the face and say, you know what, I'm sorry, I'm not going down that road. I love you, I will always love you, but if you love me, you know who I am and where I am right now. I refuse to go down that road. Amen? Because I know where it goes. I got faith today that Christ is going to pull me out of this mud. David said, do you know how I know Christ is in my life? Because he plucks my feet from the net. Why? Because David runs along and plucks his feet in the net. Right? Just like we do. I wake up every day. I'm faced with all these decisions. All of a sudden, I might have offended somebody on the road. And I'm driving off. Oh, God, why did I do that? You know? How did that happen already? Another one, you know, since this morning. But, you know, I just have to be honest about this. You know, I have to put it on the table. And then right now, having that faith and then understanding that He is the rewarder. He is the one that's going to pull me out of the net. Amen? Mark 9:23 says, all things are possible to him who believes. Luke 1:37 says, with God nothing is impossible. Isaiah 41:10, do not fear, for I am with you. Do not look anxiously about you, for I am with you. God, I will strengthen you. Surely I will help you. Surely I will uphold you with my righteous hand. That's such a powerful verse from God. He said, all things are possible to him that believes. And with God, nothing is impossible. Then he says, do not fear, for I am with you. Do not look anxiously about you. You know, that's just the thing. We've tried everything else. Isn't that the funny thing about it? When you're outside of the wings of God, how much effort you're willing to put in to try to get around it? You know how much energy, how much thought, how many times you run into guys, like old school guys that seen you in your addiction was like, if you put half the amount of the energy that you put into your addiction into something pure, you would definitely succeed. Right? And I didn't believe him. I'm like, yeah. If you just hurry this meeting up because I'm tired, right? I want to get out of here. I don't want to hear all that. But at the end of the day, all of a sudden, God straightens me out and puts me in some weird place in the middle of nowhere. And I just say, you know what? Let's take all of God's gifts and put them in action. And all of a sudden, management. Out of nowhere. From what? A life of addiction and selling drugs? How is that possible with zero resumes? Right? How is that possible? Maybe they were right. Maybe I just didn't give God a chance to truly work in my life. Yes or no? Right? And now all of a sudden, with the gifts that God has given us, with a clear mind, put into action, with I'm serious, half the amount of effort it takes to stay high, we're going to succeed. That's a valid statement that he said. But I like the idea that when I go outside of my house, wherever I go into the street or wherever I go into the workplace or wherever I run to, God says, the Creator, that's the one thing that I got to do. I got to step back out of all this and think about I'm serving the Creator of the universe, right? Right? Because I think as people, we have a tendency to bring God down to our level, right? Ben can't figure it out. Ben can't get around it. Ben don't have enough resources. But all of a sudden, I'm thinking about a God that created Ben and created the universe and created everybody before Ben. And now all of a sudden, wait a minute, there is a way, right? Where I'm telling myself there's not a possibility. God had it already because he created it. Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not look anxiously about, for I am with you. God is the answer. I will strengthen you. 2 Corinthians 3:5 says, not that we are adequate in ourselves to consider anything as coming from ourselves, but our adequacy comes from God. So only in faith can I achieve my goals. I alone will fail, and I have to understand this. As many of us who have struggled with different addictions and things like that in the past, we realize that we have a tendency to want to take control. We want to control every aspect of the scenario. But in this verse, it says, not that we are adequate in ourselves to consider anything as far as coming from ourselves, but our adequacy comes from God. Only in faith can I achieve my goals. So that's part of that relinquish where I got to chop that pride off and say, you know what? Maybe I don't have the right answer today. Right? Maybe I should be in that word. Maybe I should be getting Christian counseling from my brothers and sisters so that I can get that wisdom and strength to lead me in that right direction. And we're going to do one more. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understand Him. Now, first priority, I understand God as the Creator of the universe who sacrificed Himself so that I could have an opportunity to live this life in peace with Him, having shared all expenses paid, which doesn't seem very fair when I really think about that, you know? Because if you think about us and when we live our lives on a daily basis, we're very quick to be inconvenienced by somebody else, right? We're inconvenienced by people that drive slower. We're inconvenienced by people that we don't feel are keeping up that should be keeping up. We're inconvenienced by all these stipulations around us. But Christ sacrifices Himself so we may or may not receive repentance through our own will by decision of receiving Him, right? So what kind of Christian am I today? Am I being constantly inconvenienced, right? Is my mindset right? Do I have a loving mindset if my first thought of you is that you're inconveniencing me? Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God. Malachi, for I, the Lord, do not change. 2016 politically correct world is inaccurate, period. And let me be honest, I don't care if it's offensive, because if it is in this word, then it is the truth, and that is exactly what is for me. And if it does not align with God's word, then it cannot align with me. And I could care less about being politically correct, because the creator of the universe is who I serve. Amen? Amen. But the first and foremost thing that I have to understand is that the Lord doesn't change. So if God doesn't change, then I can't bring Him down and shape Him up and whittle Him out and make Him Ben's perfect God that allows Him to run everybody over on the way to work or be, you know, inconvenienced by everybody that He runs into or whatever it may be. Or I can just shave Him down to where I can still drink on the weekends and I got a girlfriend and a wife or however I want to shave my God into, right? I want to make my God the God that's going to save me for life insurance, or do I want to really go to heaven? Amen? Amen? Think about it. Think about it. Because the Lord doesn't change. He made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God. Well, A, first of all, I have to have the knowledge of God. I have to get that knowledge of God into my life and then simply accept it. So then when it contradicts who I am and what I do, I change. Amen? I change. And as I change, the benefit from that at the end of the day is growth. Now, Matthew 11:28. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Lamentations 3. The Lord's loving kindness is ended. The Lord's loving kindness indeed never ceases, for His compassionate never fails. They are new every morning. Great is Your faithfulness. So that is so amazing to think about. Here we go, guys. Who's still feeling bad about something they did yesterday, 2 weeks ago, 8 years ago? He says, the Lord's loving kindness indeed never ceases, for His compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is Your faithfulness. So you can't tell me that I'm not accepted, amen? Because God said, with a pure heart, tomorrow you're free. Amen? And I'm true and I'm on my knees, and great is His faithfulness renewed every morning. That's that beautiful dispensation of grace. The grace that I don't have the ability to provide because I'm just a man. But the power of God can do this. Amen. It's hard for me to understand because I think that I've been affected by people in my life and I still hold grudges. You don't think about that, but then when their name comes up, all of a sudden it's Yo Samity Sam on them, right? But that's not great as Your faithfulness. That's not a new dispensation of grace. Amen? But God doesn't operate that way. It says, a lot of times we feel like it's just too late, but the verse says loving kindness never ceases. Amen? So take that to the bank and cash it today. Jeremiah 17:4-5, it says, and you, even of yourself, will let go of your inheritance that I gave you, and you will make you serve your enemies in the land which you did not know. For you have kindled a fire in my anger, which will burn forever. Thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in the mankind and makes flesh his strength, and whose heart turns away from the Lord. But heal me, O Lord, and I will be healed. Save me, and I will be saved, for you are my praise. This tells that it's my will. And if as I continue to choose me, I'll continue to choose to fail. But if I continue to choose God, then I'm continuing to choose to succeed. And it's that simple. It really is that simple. The more I push myself towards God, the more I stay in God's wings, the more I'm safe. And Psalm 69 says, the humble have seen it and are glad. But you who seek God, let your hearts revive. For the Lord hears the needy and does not despise who are prisoners. So of all else, you know, how long can we allow this to continue? He said, the humble have seen it. Amen. So if you're holding out today, it's time to get that humility in your life. It's time to go in the closed door, back in the bedroom where nobody else is at, shut the door behind you, get on your knees and have a conversation with God. Amen. Amen. One more. Proverbs 3:5-6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge Him and He will make your path straight. So there's the key to this step. It was step number 3. It's made a decision to turn my will and my life over to the care of God. And then Proverbs, 3:5-6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, with all your mind and all your strength, and He will make your path straight. So that we're going to end on that right now. And I guess we'll pick up on step 4 next week. But just to, let's soak in these next 4 steps. Or these first 3 steps over this next week, and think about that. Then when we come back, give us some feedback on how what you thought and how you felt about that. Amen?
Amen.
All right, let's pray.